word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Back to the Bible radio program. This is Brent Arnold, the preacher for the Greenfield Church of Christ in Greenfield, Tennessee. And I'm delighted to have the opportunity to study God's Word with you this morning. Now, let us open God's Word together as we go back to the Bible.
For almost 40 years, the prophet Isaiah waged a spiritual war against the idolatry and false religion and the sinfulness that he saw in his own people. For the most part, his efforts were unfruitful. He could not prevent the people from falling into defeat to the Assyrians. He saw many of his people go into captivity. And in just a few more years, they would then suffer a defeat at the hand of the Babylonians, and many more of them would go into captivity as slaves to the Babylonians. He tried to convince the people to turn back to God and prevent these terrible things from happening. But unfortunately, they just turned a cold heart and a deaf ear on everything that Isaiah had to say. Now, while eventually they did fall to the Babylonians, a lot of what Isaiah did was able to hold that off at least for a period of time. And his success can be attributed in large part to the influence that he had upon one king in particular, a king by the name of Hezekiah. Now, this influence is surprising because Hezekiah's father was a king by the name of Ahaz, and he was one of the most wicked kings in Old Testament history. And it's not unusual for a son to follow in the footsteps of his father, to do what he sees his father do and to say what he hears his father say and just continue to follow in that path that has been set before him. It takes a great deal of strength and courage for a son to see the mistakes of his father and have the conviction in himself to attempt to do better with his own life than what he has seen. And that's exactly what Hezekiah did. And I recognize that there may be some who are listening who have to wrestle with that same battle, who don't always have a good example at home to follow, don't always have to go to work. Your work environment isn't always an environment that's encouraging and conducive for one who's trying to live the Christian life. But people like Hezekiah are a reminder to us that we can make our own decisions and we can live the life that we want to live, and God will help us to do it. Hezekiah chose to follow in the path of Isaiah instead of the path of his father. And if you're surrounded by people that are a bad influence, I want to encourage you to search out, to look diligently and search out for someone in your life who is living the life that God wants them to live. And set your sights on that person. Let them be a motivation to you. Let them be an encouragement to you. And let their influence drown out the influence of others who are having a negative influence. Just like Hezekiah, we can do that. And because of that, because Hezekiah did this, he left behind a legacy of being one of the greatest kings of Old Testament history. And as we think about his life, we stop and we look at ourselves and we wonder, what legacy am I going to leave? Am I going to leave a pattern for my children to follow, my friends? How will I be known and remembered? I want us to see what we can learn today from the example of King Hezekiah. Some of the things from his life that we can take and apply to our own lives so that we will be closer to God. First of all, I want to talk about Hezekiah's courage. In 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 2 through 4, the Bible says that when Hezekiah was 25 years old, he became king. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. He removed the high places, he broke the sacred pillars, cut down the wooden image, and broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the children of Israel burned incense to it and called it Nehushtan. This passage tells the story of the things that were removed from the land when Hezekiah became king. His eyes were open to the fact that his father Ahaz had allowed a number of things that God didn't approve. Now, he was only 25 years old, which is a mighty young age to try to take on some of the obstacles that he's taking on. But he believes that a man who's doing God's will is never too young to do what's right. And he had the courage necessary to implement the changes that needed to be implemented. He was not the first king to attempt this, but he was more successful than others had been before him. The people would go up to the high places to worship the heathen gods. That wasn't going to be tolerated as long as Ezekiel was king. So he would go and he would cut down the sacred pillars and break in pieces the wooden images the people had been worshiping. He urged them to worship Jehovah God and only Jehovah God. He didn't allow any idols to be tolerated in the land, even those that had a good history to them. Back in Numbers chapter 14, the Bible tells a story of when God's people were rebellious against him, and God sent fiery serpents among them to punish them. Many people died by being bitten by those fiery serpents, and many others were very sick. When they called out to God in repentance for relief, God had a unique plan to help them. He had Moses construct this pole, and on that pole was put a bronze serpent. And God told Moses to hold that up before the people, and if the people would look toward that, they would be healed from the poison. And it worked. But at the time of Hezekiah, which was many years later, this pole and this bronze serpent had become a relic. It had almost become an idol, where the people were bowing down and burning incense to it, and their attention was more devoted to it than it was to Jehovah God, who really made it all possible. And since Hezekiah didn't want anything that would distract the people from God, he smashed that thing and got rid of it. Hezekiah was appalled by the lack of true devotion to God. And it's good to have righteous indignation like Hezekiah does here, when you see things that you know God would not like. The Bible also tells us in 2 Chronicles chapter 29 that Hezekiah spent a great deal of money on making costly repairs to the temple. He demanded that the priests consecrate themselves and get back to the business of offering sacrifices unto God. He led the people in a passionate expression of their thanksgiving and praise toward God. He insisted that the people remember and celebrate the feast of the Passover, which they had neglected for some time. He organized the priests and made sure their work kept going. He not only stopped the evil, but he was active in doing what was right. And the fact of the matter is that faithfulness to God involves both of these things. Yes, we need to remove sinful habits, but we also need to make sure that we replace them with godly habits. There's just not enough room in any life for a person to allow both evil influence and God's influence. When we see evil in our lives, like Hezekiah, we need to have the courage to stand up against it and remove it. If I may speak to our parents who may be listening here this morning. You know, at times, whether intentionally or not, We may wake up one day and realize we have allowed things to enter into our homes that God would not approve of. You know, maybe it's things, of a various nature it could be, but we look at those things and probably if we were honest with ourselves, we would think, you know, I'd probably be embarrassed if the Lord physically knocked on my door and wanted to come in my house and would see some of the things that he would see. But when we come to a time when these things have been accepted, and especially if the things that we're talking about are things that are popular, we realize that there may be some resistance to stepping forward and saying, look, I apologize. I should have never allowed these things to enter in to begin with. But the reality is we need to do something about it, and we're going to do it now. We're going to get rid of these things that God doesn't approve of. That's not going to make you a popular person. There may be some resistance there. But I think Ezekiel is a great example to us, because when he saw what needed to be done, he had the courage to do it. And that is a legacy that every parent, every person, every elder in the church, every deacon, every preacher, everyone, wherever their sphere of life may be, that should be our desire, to leave that kind of legacy. Now, the second thing I want to talk about is the faith of Hezekiah. In 2 Kings 18 and verse 5, the Bible says that Hezekiah trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor who were before him. David made a statement in Psalm 20, verses 7 and 8, that I believe beautifully describes the way that Hezekiah functioned as a king over God's people. The statement says, "Some trust in chariots, and some in horses. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm." Hezekiah's ability to trust God in difficult times was unparalleled in Old Testament history. I want to notice a couple of examples of this. One of the first that comes to mind is how Hezekiah displayed his trust in God when he was dealing with the Assyrian king Sennacherib. Sennacherib was a powerful king with a mighty army. And before he came to Hezekiah, he had defeated many kings and overtaken many cities. And conventional wisdom would have said that Hezekiah and the people of God would have been an easy target for Sennacherib. Eventually, Hezekiah faced a time when his city was surrounded by Sennacherib and his army. In 2 Kings 18, beginning in verse 19, the Rabshakeh, who was a leader in Sennacherib's army, said to them, "Say now to Hezekiah, thus says the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this in which you trust? What are you trusting in that you think you can stand up to us? You're weak. We are strong and you are weak, and there is no way that you're going to be able to stand up against us. Don't put your trust in anything else." Verse 22. "But you say to me, we trust in the Lord our God. Is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away and said to Judah and Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem? Now therefore I urge you, give a pledge to my master, the king of Assyria, and I will give you 2,000 horses if you're able on your part to put riders on them." Now Rabshakeh makes a big mistake there. He thinks that when Hezekiah destroyed all the high places, he destroyed all of the places of worship for Jehovah God, but that's not true. That's not where God was worshipped anyway. But basically, Rabshakeh says, look, all these other cities, they trusted in their God, and we defeated them. Don't listen to Hezekiah when he tells you to trust God, because you can't stand up to us. We would even give you the horses, and you wouldn't be able to put enough soldiers on them to defend yourselves. Verse 25. Have I now come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. Which, of course, the Lord did not say that to Rabshakeh. But he just wants to try to create doubt in the hearts of the people. God sent me here to punish you. He's not going to defend you. Verse 28, the Rabshakeh stood and called out with a loud voice in Hebrew and spoke, saying, hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for you shall not be able to deliver us from deliver you from our hand. Don't let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. The Rabshakeh intimidated the people. Don't listen to Hezekiah when he tells you to trust the Lord. The Lord's not going to deliver you. You're going to be afflicted and punished at our hand. What should Hezekiah do? Get his army together to defend his city? Send a messenger down to Egypt and call for reinforcements? What's he going to do? He's between a rock and a hard place. How is he going to handle this situation? How is he going to get out of it? Well, when you come to 2 Kings chapter 19, the Bible tells us how Hezekiah handled it. And so it was when King Hezekiah heard it, he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. He sent Eliakim, who was over the household, Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests covered with sackcloth to Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amos. Then Isaiah said to them, thus you shall say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Surely I will send a spirit upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land. And I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So Hezekiah turned to the Lord. He asked Isaiah, the prophet, for advice. And the prophet told Hezekiah to pray to the Lord and trust in his ability to deliver him and the people from this problem. Then you come down to verse 15, where it says, then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God. You alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone. Hezekiah dealt with his situation in prayer and trusted that the Lord would provide. And here's what happened. 2 Kings 19:35. It came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses, all dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away and returned home and remained at Nineveh. He might have thought he would be safe there, but he soon found out otherwise. Because the Bible says it came to pass that as he was worshiping in the temple of Nisroch, his god, that his sons, Adrammelech and Sherezer, struck him down with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Ararat, and Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his place. In one night, the entire Assyrian army, all 185,000 soldiers, were defeated. The people of God never had to draw the sword. They never had to shoot an arrow. They never fought the first fight. They trusted the Lord and they prayed. The Lord sent his angel to deliver them. At some point or another, we all find ourselves between a rock and a hard place. Stressed, overwhelmed, discouraged, depressed, lonely, overwhelmed. Whatever the situation is, we feel like we've been backed into a corner and we've got a load on us that's too heavy to bear and we just have nowhere to go. Those are the moments when it's easy to turn somewhere other than God. Some people turn to drink, some people turn to gambling, some people turn to sex, some people turn to this or that. There are many influences in the world like Rabshakeh that will say it's pointless to trust in the Lord. He can't help you. Don't even think about trusting in him. And those are the moments when it can be hardest for us to trust him. Keep believing in him and keep serving him. And Hezekiah is a great example to us here. When life backs you into a corner, hit your knees and turn your heart to the Lord. Trust in him. Don't trust in chariots or horses. Don't trust in anything that this world has to offer. Trust in him. There was another occasion when Hezekiah had to trust the Lord. In 2 Kings chapter 20, we read that Hezekiah was very sick to the point of death. And Isaiah told him to set his house in order because he would die and not live. His condition was that serious. And it appeared as though that was what was going to happen. Instead of just accepting that, Hezekiah turned to the wall. The idea there is to, he turned to be alone. And he began to pray to the Lord. He asked the Lord to heal him. And he asked the Lord to be merciful to him. And he wept bitterly as he prayed. And then a remarkable thing happened. God sent the prophet with a new message for Hezekiah. And that message was, I will now add to your days 15 years. Hezekiah lived 15 more years because of that prayer that he prayed to the Lord. God even caused the shadow on the sundial to go back 10 degrees as a sign to Hezekiah that he was going to keep this promise. We all face, at one point or another, situations, either for ourselves or for those that we love, that are similar to Hezekiah's. When death seems to be looming near and casting a long and dark shadow upon our lives, we may be facing cancer, we may be facing surgery, we may be facing treatments, and it can be frightening. It's not unusual for us to want to live longer, to want to be with the people that we love longer. It's not that we don't love heaven and don't want to go to heaven, but God made us to love the people here on this earth and to want to be with them as long as we can. That's a natural thing, just like we see here with Hezekiah. If Hezekiah died, he'd gone to heaven, but he had other things he wanted to accomplish here on this earth, and that's a noble desire. And what we learn from this passage is that God respects that desire and that he is capable to be a God of healing. He is capable to grant more time when time seems to have run out. Now, the fact that God did this for Hezekiah isn't a guarantee that that's always going to be his answer. We don't always understand why he answers the way he does, but sometimes his answer is to grant more time, and sometimes his answer is, well, no, this is the time to depart, to go to paradise. Farther along, perhaps we'll understand more why he makes the decisions that he does. Whatever his answer is going to be, what Hezekiah teaches us is, when you're under that dark shadow, turn your face to the Lord and pray to him. Trust that he can provide the remedy that seems impossible. And trust that whatever happens, as long as he is with you, you're going to survive. As David said in Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, because thou art with me." Without faith, the book of Hebrews says it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. But as we see here, with faith, with trust in the Lord, God will be genuinely pleased. And we should believe in his existence, and we should believe in his providence. Whatever we may see or not see, we can believe in those things. But the last thing that I want to mention when it comes to the life of Hezekiah is the importance of endurance. Now, for the most part, Hezekiah's life was one of doing the right thing for any length of time and in any circumstance. In 2 Kings 18:6, the Bible says that Hezekiah held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded. But there was one episode from his life when he didn't persevere. Now, Hezekiah wasn't perfect. No one's trying to convince anyone that he was. There's only one perfect human that's ever lived, and that's Jesus. On one occasion, in 2 Kings 12, 12 through 19, the Bible tells us when Hezekiah was visited by the Babylonians, and they wanted to see his kingdom. And I have little doubt that Hezekiah was flattered by the attention, as, you know, understandably a lot of folks would be. But rather than giving credit to God on this occasion, he took it as an opportunity to show off his wealth and put himself in the spotlight. He absorbed all the credit for himself and failed to give glory to God. And what better time to give glory to God than when you're surrounded by a bunch of Babylonians? Isaiah immediately rebuked Hezekiah for his attitude and his actions there. And I really think that it was just a brief episode that really wasn't characteristic of all of his life. But it still goes to illustrate the importance of endurance. We should be people of courage and we should be people of faith, but we should also do those things to the end under any circumstance that life may throw our way. We should be quick to give glory to God for his blessings and not anxious to draw drawing attention to ourselves. After all, pride does come before a fall, Proverbs 16 and verse 18. While we're living the Christian life, there's going to be a need to persevere in times of difficulty. After a few weeks of attendance in Bible classes, our desire, our passion may begin to dwindle. That doesn't mean we give up and turn back. After a few times of inviting our friends and neighbors to church, we may feel the desire to quit asking, but we shouldn't. After a few days of resisting temptation, all we really want to do is just give in, but we can't. Like Hezekiah, we need to persevere. We need to endure. What a legacy Hezekiah left behind. A legacy of courage, of faith, and endurance. Hezekiah did not use his bad example, those who went before him, as an excuse. He was a man of conviction. And let's resolve here today to do all that we can do to leave behind this kind of legacy for others to follow behind us as well.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Again, this has been Brent Arnold from the Greenfield Church of Christ. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope and pray that this lesson has been a blessing to you, and we hope that you'll tune in again next week to this same station at this same time. Please come and visit us as soon as you can. We're located on Highway 45 in Greenfield, Tennessee. We meet on Sundays at 10, 10:45 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can contact us either by calling us at 731-235-2341 or by emailing us at greenfieldchurchofchrist@yahoo.com. We'll be looking forward to our next opportunity to go back to the Bible. Till then, have a great day.
and alive.